Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
Well, allegations surfaced this week that China is behind prolonged hacking of Apple's iOS platform, including using it covertly to surveil the Chinese Uyghur Muslim community. This attack is considered to be the first large-scale incident exposing serious vulnerabilities with Apple's operating system and the 1 billion iPhone users across the globe. To discuss this recent development and the wider implications, we're now joined by Dr. Luke Heemsbergen of the School of Communication and Creative Arts at Deakin University. Luke, welcome.
Thank you.
So, what has China been accused of?
Well, I mean, we should start out by saying that the people who are doing the accusing aren't sure it's China. The language that's usually used is an advanced persistent threat, which means an organization that has the capacity or capabilities to do a lot of coding and a lot of work to make sure their eavesdropping, their spying works well.
And this is similar there was attacks on our government systems earlier, and everyone sort of said, oh, we don't know exactly who it is, but it's a state actor, and
that's right.
Yeah, anyway,
So it's probably a state actor. I mean, what was interesting about this case is that iPhone software is thought to be pretty secure, and any time there's a what's called a zero day or an exploit that gets into your iPhone, the ones that security researchers have found are usually exploits that target specific people. So it says, hey, open this text message that I've sent you, and then, you know, we'll take you down a rabbit hole, and now I can read what's on your one phone because I've taken all this time and effort to find out what's in this one specific target's phone, right? A high-value target. What's interesting about what was discovered by a group of security researchers working at Google, actually, was that a whole suite of websites, they said 11 websites, but they didn't name which ones, had actually been hacked in such a way that something like 14 different exploits for your iPhone, for everyone's iPhones that visited these websites, were being used to basically open them up. So anybody who visited these websites basically had opened up their entire phone, even their encrypted messages and everything else, to this advanced persistent threat. What the researchers didn't say was what these websites were, or, you know, then therefore who would be targeting a whole kind of population of people. Other unattributed sources say these websites were actually for the Uyghur population in China. So you kind of connect the dots and say, okay, someone strung together a whole bunch of exploits to spy on a whole population group, as Google puts it. As the Google researchers put it, it's not a question about, you know, whether spying on someone costs $1 million or $20 million or whatever. It's actually a question of how much, you know, is it worth for a state to be able to spy on everyone of a specific ethnic minority in this.
And we know the Chinese government's position on this particular group. So is it right to say it's kind of like a backdoor, kind of Trojan-style vulnerability?
The reality is it's not actually just one thing, and that's why it's kind of newsworthy and noteworthy. Usually when Apple finds one security hole in their products, they get really up in arms about it and fix it as quick as they can. What's interesting about this case is there is 14 of these exploits just kind of lying around. So it's not kind of one Trojan. It's 14 different ways that the phone was exploitable and all had to be used in conjunction to get inside your phone. But when you have state actors that have the time and patience to do so, then they just kind of let that sit there and scoop up anyone they can.
With this particular, obviously we can't say whether or not it was China or who has done this particular thing, but in order to achieve what has been alleged here, Would that require a certain level of complicity with any of the well-known global platforms or websites?
That's a really good question, and I can't say for certain in any regard, but I don't think so in this case. I mean, I don't know if you're kind of alluding to, but I think back to the whole NSA spying, right, with Keystone, where they were able to kind of, in some ways, integrate with Google or not. And I don't think that's happening here for two reasons. The first is that, you know, allegedly the websites in question were more just kind of like mom and pop websites, right? So it's not that someone hacked Google or hacked Gmail or hacked, Netflix, something big like this, or they had, you know, some kind of interaction with these large companies. It was just smaller websites that then this, you know, persistent actor came along and changed some code on so that they could take advantage of whoever got there. And this is how Google found out about what was going on. They saw that the websites were adulterated rather as a way into understanding, you know, how these exploits were actually being used.
Mm. So in layman's terms, what does this mean for the 1 billion or so Apple iPhone users across the globe?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, it means even those platforms we think are much more secure than others are not always so. And on the other hand, I mean, it's hard to honestly say, well, this is Apple's fault or this is Android's fault or this is this manufacturer's fault. When there's a base reality of when we create digital traces of our lives and store them in such a way that, you know, they're easily movable, copyable, and transferable, any kind of actor may eventually be able to view that, to know that. And that's the reality of the digital world we live in, whether that's, you know, exploited through Cambridge Analytica, whether that's selling you weird ads on Facebook, or, you know, whether you're surveilled because of your ethnic history.
Well, it's yet another piece of evidence to show that we should probably be a bit more careful online. And Luke, I thank you for explaining it to us this morning.
Hey, it's an interesting case, so thanks for giving me the time to do so.
That was Dr. Luke Heemsbergen from the School of Communication and Creative Arts at Deakin University, talking to us about recently surfaced allegations involving China's and Apple's iOS operating system hacks and how they were engineered to covertly surveil iPhone users, as the allegations go.